This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. On today's programme, I'm taking you to Rushen Abbey and to two Douglas churches who are next-door neighbours. But as we usually do, let's begin with some music. Today it's from Darren Winfield, an Australian worship leader and songwriter. This is from his most recent album, The Sevenfold Path, a journey through prayer and worship.
Our weakness and seek your face, longing for your touch of grace. Our hearts are open, our hands are raised. Guide us, Lord, through all our days. In our weakness we seek your face, longing for your touch of grace. Our hearts are open, our hands are raised. Guide us, Lord, through all our days. Hear our prayer, O Lord Most High. Incline your ear to our cry. Yeshua, shelter, calm our fear. We rest beneath your mighty wing, safe within, our souls will sing. Hear our prayer, O Lord Most High. Incline your ear to our cry. Yeshua,
Darren Winfield, a worship leader and songwriter who has a strong online presence, using his website to offer music, devotionals and resources designed, he says, to help you walk closer with God, to journey with Jesus at your own pace, wherever you are in the world. If you'd like to look him up, he's Darren Winfield, D-A-R-R-E-N, and Winfield is W-I-N-F-I-E-L-D. Now let's meet my first guest. And this conversation is taking us to Rushen Abbey, when I called in to meet the Scripture Union Ministries Trust team and lots of willing volunteers who were delivering the Life Path programme to the island's primary school children. And right at the heart of everything, I found Scripture Union's chief executive, the ever-cheerful Christina Reeves. I wondered if she was looking happy because she enjoys the Life Path programme so much.
I know Life Path is something particularly that our volunteers enjoy and our staff enjoy for sure. It's an incredible experience just to see so many people from so many different churches gathering together, working together to recreate the journey of a monk and the life pattern that they followed in their worship of God and allowing children to understand that that's what happened in history. But actually, today, there are still Christians who are practicing their faith and following different patterns and rhythms of worship. And they get to see that whole spectrum, explore what prayer is, get to do some of the crafts and the work of some of the monks. It's a brilliant experience. It's engaging, exciting, and interactive for the children. And I know for many young people, it's a very memorable day.
Also, it sits well in the curriculum. We're talking about primary age children here.
Yes.
I just had a brief word with one of the teachers who's got a school group in today, and she is loving seeing her children enjoying it.
I think there is something for teachers in particular, when people come from outside and come in to share experience, stories, different knowledge that they might carry, it always brings fresh energy and enthusiasm. And I think for the RE curriculum on the Isle of Man, what we do on Life Path Day is cover the entire curriculum for year five pupils, focusing on Christianity and how that impacts on people's life choices. So for teachers, it's a big win because on one day they've covered that element of the curriculum and we really enjoy delivering it. We've got an incredible group of volunteers who sew and sew and sew, and they make these beautiful little bags. We call them the journey bags. So all the students get one, and at each station that they go round, they collect little items. So they get to take this away with them as a memento of their learning and of the experiences that they had in the day.
Now, as well as doing lots of new things, which Scripps Union do so very well, you're hoping to revive or breathe some new life into something that used to happen. Christina, tell me about that.
I'm assuming you're talking about our Thanksgiving service.
That's the one.
Yes, for a number of years, we haven't had the opportunity to gather together, just bringing together all the people who have been connected with Scripture Union throughout the year. And we have in the region of 150 volunteers who do so many different things for us. And we just wanted to have an opportunity to gather as many people together as possible and to remember that it's God who enables all of this work, and to thank him and to thank some of the key people who've played a really big part in our work. This year, we're saying goodbye to a number of our governance volunteers who've been involved in that kind of background work for us as a charity. So it's an opportunity to thank them. And we have a member of staff who's moving on as well. So yeah, it's a great opportunity just to shine light on the amazing work that people are doing to help us to bless schools and our wider community, and to engage children and young people with faith and understanding that it can be within reach. So the Thanksgiving service this year is happening at Broadway Baptist Church, 6 p.m. on Saturday the 12th of July. And the aim is for it to be an hour and a half of fun. So children and families are most welcome. Bring everyone along. Bring anyone and everyone you can think of who might be interested in hearing about what we're doing as Scripture Union, and come and celebrate with us. We'd love to see you.
Isn't that just a great invitation? Anyone and everyone, come along to Broadway Baptist Church here in Douglas next Saturday night, that's the 12th, at 6 p.m. for a family-friendly time of Thanksgiving. And Broadway Baptist Church is on Broadway, almost opposite the side entrance to the Villa Marina complex. And speaking of Douglas, that's where we're heading now, to stop off first at St Ninian's, with its tall tower, a landmark on the Douglas skyline, sitting near the traffic lights on Glencrutchery Road. But in a couple of days' time, two vicars will be licensed for ministry in that one church. They are Reverend Alex Brown, a regular visitor to this programme, usually talking about his work as a pioneer minister, and Reverend Stephen Herron, who, like Alex, is an ordained priest in the Anglican Church. So, one church with two vicars. There's got to be a good story here, and we're going to hear it from the men themselves. So welcome, Reverend Stephen and Reverend Alex. Now, Alex and I have known each other for a very long time, from the days before Alex was ordained, when he was leading Scripture Union on the island and deeply involved in ministry with young people. And I've known Stephen for quite a few years too, but for most of that time, he's been Stephen, the very experienced and dedicated paramedic. So, Reverend Stephen, if you're going to be the vicar of St Ninian's, what's happened to Stephen, the paramedic?
I'm currently a paramedic and will continue in that role, as well as then taking on the incumbency at St Ninian's. So there's going to be this wonderful joint working, really, between the two roles, which will be incredible.
Being a paramedic, it's more of a vocation because you've got to be there for people in their lowest moments. So you're already in a caring profession. What was it where you felt that this isn't enough?
It was actually, interestingly, the other way around. My background to ordained ministry was actually, I received the call, I reckon, about the age of 14 and had a sense towards ordained ministry. And initially laughed it off, the sort of idea of a Jeremiah sort of character of, no, Lord, not me. It can't possibly be me you're calling. I just don't fit that bill. You know, I'm certainly not holy and fit the traditional view of a vicar. I just don't fit that view. So initially laughed it off, but then joined a voluntary organisation, St John Ambulance, and did some first aid training and absolutely fell in love with pre-hospital care. So had a bit of a tussle with God and said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do my thing first, which was paramedicine. And I've continued that for the past 17 and a half years now. All the time, God has never let me go and has continued to call me through to ordained ministry. Regardless of what I tried to push in the way, he continued to call me to it. And then joyfully was ordained here at Peel Cathedral in 2020.
And now you stand on the threshold of something very new and very exciting. Let's press pause there, because there has to be a good reason why I'm talking to Pioneer Minister Reverend Alex Brown and Reverend Stephen Herron. Alex, what's going on?
I've had a heart for St Ninian's Church for a very long time. So when I moved over to the island in 1997, which is a long time ago now, nearly 30 years now, isn't it? Garth Grinham was the minister there. He was on the leadership team of Scripture Union at the time. So he was one of my managers. And so my relationship with the church community has gone on all the way through. So 20 years working for SUMT all the time. St Ninian's Church has been a huge support to me pastorally and practically. And in recent years, I just felt a growing sense I needed to pray more for the congregation there. And then the previous incumbent, John, he put his notice in. And almost the next day, somebody said to me, have you thought about being the incumbent at St Ninian's? And I was like, not really, no. I'm very, very happy doing what I'm doing.
But if I can just jump in here, Alex, because to pray for St Ninian's, I can absolutely understand. But you are a pioneer minister. Your passion is to go to people who don't feel comfortable in a church building or perhaps have not had that church experience.
So we've been noticing that people who've got no church connection at all still identify church buildings as being a legitimate place of worship. And so even with people who say to us initially, oh, I don't think I want anything to do with any traditional congregations, after a while of being with us, when they start to grow in their faith, they start to ask us questions like, when are we going to do things properly? And half of them, that their idea of doing things properly is that we'll still be on the beach and we have discussions in cafes and stuff like that. That is how they can see it. But because we still have this inheritance in our head of actually, there is something really stable about a congregation in a building and a form of worship which people can recognise. There are people who absolutely love it. I mean, for 2 billion people across the world, Judith, it works, doesn't it? So there's got to be something going for it.
And you can still have discussions in coffee shops. You can still meet and pray on a beach or in a forest and have, let's call it, conventional church worship as well. They're not, one doesn't rule out the other, does it?
No. What we're going to try to do is both congregations will have access to everything. So all of the Pioneer Church, which is going to continue. So I'm only going to be part-time Pioneer for St Ninian's and part-time Pioneer for Pioneer Church. So we're going to offer everything to everybody, really. So people from Pioneer Church who want to explore traditional services can go into St Ninian's and do that, which they could do anyway. But now it's kind of in a joint partnership. And the same is true as well. So anyone from St Ninian's will have access to all of the stuff that we put on as Pioneer and can just join in any point.
Let's explore this word partnership. Are you being jointly licensed to be the vicars together? Stephen, tell me.
That's a really interesting question. So the structure of the Church of England is generally you have one incumbent, one vicar of the church. So really joyfully, I take on that role as incumbent of St Ninian's. The structure that then happens is we have Alex, who is licensed as associate minister to St Ninian's as a half-time Pioneer minister. And then his other half-time then is spent at Pioneer Church. So what that allows really is the very formal traditional background that church has, as Alex has already explained, can continue through normal incumbency and a normal vicar, but also introducing really new, innovative, exciting opportunities through Pioneer within the St Ninian's boundary.
Well, the language that the Church of England is using at the moment is something called a mixed ecology rather than a mixed economy. So if you look at an ecosystem, each different part of an ecosystem feeds into the other part. You can't remove like a whole forest and not have an impact on the environment that you've got. But the forest needs to be there. It needs to be its own forest. It needs to be a different thing to the lake, for instance. So this mixed ecology is what we're hoping to be able to offer here. I think it's what's on God's heart. God loves diversity. He loves creativity. And I think it's a more biblical way of doing things. Jesus sent people out in twos. He didn't send people out in ones. And we're being sent to St Ninian's as a pair, sharing this single role, two different people who enjoy church in different styles. But actually, we both appreciate each other's styles really well. I've been doing this Pioneer stuff for 8 years, maybe. And I love when I get to cover for a traditional church, because when I was growing up, I went to traditional church. It's what fed me. It's what I love. But I also have a real passion for all the new stuff. And likewise, we're hoping that Stephen will be able to cover me when I go away in the pioneering stuff that we do. But he's more at home with the traditional stuff. So it just makes perfect sense that we share this role.
Anything parish-based, if you think of the traditional parish structure, so funerals, weddings, baptisms, home visits, hospital visits, that sort of thing, that all comes under incumbency and the role that the vicar will take on. But we very much hope, as Alex explained there, is that can be shared between the two of us. So overall incumbency takes the responsibility for the parish, but the joy that we have is that we can share that load and the love that we have of the people around us.
Now, you're coming to a church that really is perfectly placed and resourced for what you're doing, because here we've got St Ninian's at the traffic lights, Glen Crutchery Road. So you're in the heart of everything. You're by the start of the TT course. You've got a very well-resourced church building in that it's been developed. It's got community rooms. It's got a very flexible space within the worship area.
And more importantly than that, it's got a congregation who are excited about possibilities for the future. In the congregation, there are people who have got memories of exciting children's work, exciting youth work. They were the congregation that helped to be part of planting the Cat with No Tail Sunday at 10 congregation, which is still linked with St Ninian's as well. So it's not just Pioneer Church and St Ninian's congregation. The Sunday at 10 is currently underneath the leadership of St Ninian's. So that third congregation also working in partnership. We've been covering some services recently, and just the excitement in people's eyes is that they're ready to explore together what is the vision that God wants for this group of churches and how can we move that forwards. And that's a very exciting thing.
This is all going to be made official this coming Wednesday evening. Is that right, Stephen?
Yeah, that's correct. Wednesday evening, 9th of July at 7 o'clock, when both of us are licensed into our respective roles. It sounds like it's going to be a very grand occasion. I think we're both really excited, along with the congregation. Really joyful occasion.
Could you squeeze a few more in if people are listening to this and thinking, I would love to go along and see what's going on? Is that possible?
All are welcome, most certainly. And I think it may be standing room only at this point, but you are very, very welcome if anyone's available. It would be lovely to have you join in this celebration with all of us.
Stephen, it seems appropriate that we should finish this interview with some music that we'll be singing in St Ninian's on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.
That sounds like a beautiful idea. So we're very joyfully closing the service with quite a traditional hymn, but I think we have a slightly more modern version of Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Praise my soul. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
Thank you to Reverend Alex and Reverend Stephen, who will be licensed jointly to St Ninian's Church here in Douglas on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Now, I've not had to walk very far for my next church visit. In fact, just next door to St Ninian's is St Andrew's United Reformed Church, and this is a particularly special year for the church, as they're celebrating the 200th anniversary of the presence of St Andrew's United Reformed Church here in Douglas. There have already been some special events and recently a wonderful anniversary service, and now I'm standing in the church looking at a magnificent flower festival, and joining me now is Linda Jackson, a skilled floral artist herself who's worked so hard leading a wonderful team to produce these very imaginative displays. Linda, hello.
And, hello, Judith.
Congratulations on another wonderful achievement. When I heard that your displays were going to tell the story of St Andrew, I thought, however are they going to do that?
Well, I was very ignorant, really. How did he become the patron saint of Scotland?
Well, I think really, looking at the displays here, because he was a traveller.
Well, his remains were a traveller. He travelled a lot after death. Evidently, a monk had a vision to take his remains to the ends of the earth. And unfortunately, or fortunately, he was shipwrecked on the shores of Fife, which became St Andrew's.
Because that's where some of his remains were washed up.
A finger bone, a knee bone. And I believe, actually, the Pope in later years has sent a shoulder blade to Edinburgh Cathedral.
In medieval times, particularly, relics were prized very, very highly. They had great significance. But I'm standing here looking, first of all, at a display that you've created that tells the story of the shipwreck. And we're not giving too much away. The Flower Festival is open now, and it opens later this morning at 12:30 after your morning worship. And you're open again tomorrow, Tynwald Day, and on Tuesday. So I'm not going to give too much away. We want people to come and look at these very special displays. But the lovely thing is, even if people aren't flower arrangers, you can find a use for their gifts, can't you?
I can indeed. And I have tried to include as many willing members of the congregation. They all have hobbies, and particularly the knitter and natterers have come up trumps with we're not giving too much away, but birds and bees and felt makers. Wendy's busy with balloons. So yes, I did try and get the men included with driftwood boats.
Well, with all flower displays, there's a lot of staging goes with it.
It's the hard bit.
And that's where the practical help is needed. So if we move on, St Andrew's Church itself is a great venue for a flower festival, isn't it?
Because it is so huge, the displays have to be big to have an impact, and there's no little traditional windowsills.
So in the centre of the church, you've got a very significant tiered display, again, not giving too much away, but that in itself tells a story, and interestingly, the story of the Saltire Cross.
Yes. How did that become the flag of Scotland, really? It's known as St Andrew's Cross because evidently St Andrew didn't deem himself worthy to be crucified on the same shaped cross as Jesus. Hence we have the Saltire Cross.
Where his arms and legs would be spread out.
Yes,
almost
and
like
he wasn't nailed, evidently. He was bound to the cross.
Looking to the other side of the church, you've got two colourful displays. One is representing Amalfi. Tell me about that, Linda.
Well, his remains are in Amalfi. The tomb of St Andrew's is in the Amalfi Duomo Cathedral, and the crypt of St Andrew's is in there. And legend has it that every St Andrew's Day, the 30th of November, it weeps, liquefaction, manna. St Andrew's blood oozes, I don't know, but that's the spiritual feed manner is, I suppose, for us all.
And the stories of those who've gone before us are a food for our journey,
yes,
aren't they?
Definitely, yeah.
Now, you've also got some individual displays that reflect charities.
We have the leprosy mission. So we've tried to depict the poverty of leprosy and then the healing and the hope with a lovely Indian display.
And that reflects a particular project that the Leprosy Mission have for this year, where they're working in India. It's a big project, so yes. that's very accurately yes. reflecting that.
Yeah. And then we've got Christian Aid. I mean, they've done so much, but it was what I could depict into flowers. So the honeybees in Burundi and helping the sunflower farmers in Kenya. So I thought, oh, sunflowers and knitted bees, and that's how that one came about. We have the food bank we collect for. So I thought, rather than just a box of food, so we've tried to hang tin cans of food with the vegetables in them. It's a bit weird.
Linda, I stand in awe of you and your team. Lots of hard work.
Yes, we've been in church since Monday.
I'm not going to say any more, except if you can, come to St Andrew's United Reformed Church. You're open today, Sunday, from 12:30 until 4.
Yes.
And then tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, from what time?
11 till 4, both days.
One final important question. Are there refreshments?
There will be tea and biscuits, yes.
Linda, thank you very much indeed. Congratulations. And I hope you have a very successful remainder of the festival.
Thank you very much.
And there's another flower festival just opened in Russian Parish, and you're invited to visit four churches in the south to enjoy floral displays on the theme Beautiful Words, celebrating the written word in song, poetry and literature. Kirkchrist Russian will be open each day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. up to and including the 9th of July. The Abbey Church in Balasala, St Mark's Church and Malou Parish Church are also open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, but their festival is just one day shorter, so these three churches are open up to and including the 8th of July. And as you might imagine, there'll be refreshments available in all the festival churches. And now let's see what else there is on today's notice board. And we begin in Bride Methodist Church, who invite you to their Sunday School anniversary service this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Mrs. Jenny Casson will lead the service, the Sunday School children will be taking part, and there'll be afternoon tea afterwards. We've mentioned the Lord's Prayer event a few times on this programme in recent weeks, and today is when it actually happens. The Archbishop of York will be in the Cathedral in Peel this evening at 6 o'clock. It'll last about an hour and a half, during which time Archbishop Stephen will be talking about his belief that the prayer that Jesus himself gave us is a prayer to learn by heart and a prayer to get inside our hearts, shaping the way we live. There'll be time for questions and conversation too. It's completely free and everyone is welcome. This evening, the Mariners' Choir will be in Maroun Parish Church for a service starting at 6:30, at which Reverend Canon Janice Ward will preach. This is the last Mariners' service of this season and a good time to thank them for their commitment. We look forward to their new programme of services starting again in the autumn. On the West Coast, Dorby Church has their anniversary summer concert service with the choir Manx Voices tonight at 6:30. And this will be followed by a Dorby Tay in the schoolrooms with a warm welcome for all. CAME, or Churches Alive in Man, the ecumenical body representing the island's Christian denominations, is leading a special time of prayer this Tuesday evening. Prayers will be offered for our island, its people and its government. And there will be prayers for the concerns of the wider world too. The venue is Tynwald Hill and the time is 7 p.m. this Tuesday the 8th. All prayer is powerful, so do please feel welcome to come to Tynwald Hill on Tuesday at 7 p.m. And finally, next Sunday afternoon, you're invited on a walk from St Luke's Church in the Baldwin Valley to Abbeylands Chapel. It's a 2.5-mile walk using roads and a public footpath across farmland, so please dress accordingly. This is next Sunday the 13th, meet at St Luke's at 1 p.m, arriving at Abbeylands Chapel for the service at 3 p.m. And after the service, there'll be a walk back to St Luke's. Refreshments will be served at both ends of the walk and lifts to and from both churches will also be available. And if it should be bad weather, the walk will be cancelled and St Luke's congregation will just join the Abbeylands folk for their service at 3 p.m. But I'm quite sure that the refreshments won't be affected whatever the weather. And that's all for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock, opening the virtual lounge door and inviting you to join me for easy listening music and lots more notice board news as well. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a very happy National Day tomorrow and a blessed and peaceful week. And of course, a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.